For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Here we go. Hour number three of the Rob Brown Show is underway. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Rob Brown, Brandon in for the great one, Lonzo, today. You want to be a part of the show? There are multiple ways to make that happen. The first is to jump on the Renewal by Anderson of the Carolinas fan phone at 844-326-3663. 844-FANFONE. You can text us at 71307. Start your text with FAN, F-A-N, 71307. Start your text with FAN. You can also join us on our live stream at Facebook.com/TheFanUpstate, Twitter.com/TheFanUpstate. Watching The Fan Upstate on YouTube, The Rob Brown Show on YouTube, or The Rob Brown Show on Twitch. All different ways for you to jump on the show with us today. So, as we begin hour number three, an hour which, by the way, Rashad Beard will be joining us coming up in about 39 minutes from right now. We'll catch up with all things silver and blue ball with Rashad, get his thoughts on our season win projection in just a little while from right now. I would like to start with this. Cole Bryson and Diesel, who host Wire to Wire every afternoon right here and only on the Fan Upstate from 3 to 7 p.m. I say this with all sincerity in the world. Love the boys, all right? Genuinely love the show. I listen to it pretty much every afternoon. Love them as dudes. Cole and Diesel both catch invites to the Rob Brown's house for Masters parties and NASCAR races. I like them. They're friends. They're also both wrong on the radio a lot. And they say the same thing about me, so it's just fine. They were talking about NASCAR. Last weekend, the boys in NASCAR went and spun not circles. They went and spun like a kind of like a, almost a figure eight, but not entirely, up on the streets of Chicago, Illinois, in a race that, while there were some issues with it, I don't know why we're starting it at night when you know it's going to rain off of Lake Michigan when the temperature changes in Chicago, Illinois. And while I don't know why it was this week that they decided that they wanted to try out a timed event, don't love it. Like, it's NASCAR. You run a distance, okay? That's what we do. I don't have an issue with the race. I don't have an issue with the race being in Chicago. I don't have an issue with it being a street race. I don't have an issue with anything about the race, with the exception of the timed event. Diesel and Cole, the opposite. They do. Specifically, my dog CB, C Money Cole Bryson, who said, not only can you keep the street race, I don't need it, I don't want it. They both said, well, you know what? I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to play you a couple of clips off the show of Wire to Wire. They put this up on our YouTube channel. And I think the arguments are fair, but I'm going to push back. We're going to play a little game called Hold Up. Here's how it works. The clip's about, it's a little shy of 4 minutes long. Probably won't get to the whole thing. We'll see how it goes. I'm going to play the audio. And then when it gets to a point that I would like to rebut, I will say, hold up. We will stop. We will pause in that exact moment. We will respond once we have made our points. We will continue on. So, with no further ado, here is D-Train, Diesel, C-Money, Cole Bryson from Wire to Wire on the Fan Upstate.
Do they build long-lasting fans? Like, do you tune in? Is somebody so enthralled by watching racing through downtown Chicago that they say, oh, well, I've got to tune in next week for their race at Martinsville?
Hold up! Hold the bleep up! You ever watched a race in Kansas City? It is, and I'm going to use a scientific term here. All right, I'm digging way into the back of the dictionary. Big word time. Boring as f-. Okay? I will take one street race over 15 Kansas City races. Did you watch 2 weeks ago when they ran the Iowa race? That's a pretty good impression of a sleeping guy.
You know, they call Kansas City or Missouri the show me state. What are you showing me? It's so boring on that race.
Yeah. If you want to tell me, that running Chicago's a bad idea because people aren't going to be enthralled with it, then I better hear you go tend to the turf and say with your chest the same thing about Iowa, the same thing about Kansas City, the same thing about all Texas. Texas is boring more often than it's not. If you're not out here proclaiming that Iowa, Texas, and Kansas City do nothing for the NASCAR circuit, I don't want to hear a word about Chicago, because at least Chicago had some banging and some crashing and some knocking and some rubbing. And we all know rubbing's racing. Did anybody watch the Chicago race and go, I'm so enthralled that I have to? I don't know. But I promise you, if there's even one, it's more than we'll do that after a race in Texas.
Or sure. Or Darlington or Charlotte or Texas. I don't know. I mean,
by the way, Charlotte. Sorry, hold up. By the way, I don't know. Charlotte, the full race, like the tri-oval race. Charlotte's race is good as a tri-oval race. It is better than Texas, Kansas City, Iowa, whatever. It's better than those races. It's still got a lot of boring races. The Roval at Charlotte, which is like 75% traditional track and 25% road race, the Roval is exceptionally entertaining. Exceptionally. So what do you think is going to translate? Chicago getting people to watch the Roval and then Charlotte? Or Kansas City getting people to watch and then the Roval and then Charlotte? It's a no-brainer.
They may look at that and say, well, that's boring. I don't want to watch them go around in circles.
They could.
Right? I think NASCAR is in the middle of a massive identity crisis right now.
Limbo.
I get why they want to be more than just a small Southern sport.
Hold up. Correct. All this is about is eyeballs. Because here is the reality. And I've said this about the Colin Kaepernick situation in the NFL. I've said it about the transfer portal and NIL growth in college ball. You're going to learn something via TV ratings. And here's what you're going to learn. People love to get on microphones and Twitter and social media, and they love to say, that's it. I'm never watching this crap again. And then you know what they do? They watch it again. Little dirty secret. They all watch it again. Are there some people who bailed out? Sure. Did it matter? The year after Colin Kaepernick, when everybody said, I'm never watching it again, ratings were higher than they'd ever been. NIL, transfer portal, I'm never watching it again. College football ratings are higher than they've ever been. Yes, you are. And I'm not judging you for it, all right? I'm not judging for it. We all have knee-jerk reactions. We all say silly things in the heat of the moment. We all say silly things. But the reality is, if you love NASCAR, you're watching it. So is NASCAR in an identity crisis? I will say kinda, but not for the reason that Diesel's saying they are. What they're in an identity crisis for right now is not trying to dramatically change the sport to where it's unrecognizable. No. The identity crisis that they are going through right now is trying to be young and cool in a sport that spent the first all of its existence not trying to be young and cool. NASCAR was never young and cool. Never tried to be young and cool, but it is trying to be young and cool now. That is why, look at the drivers right now. It's a young roster, right? It's a young roster. Chase Elliott is like an elder statesman out there now. Look at the sponsors. You got Monster Energy Drink running. You got Celsius running. Of course it's trying to be young and cool. It's got Chris Paul in the ownership group. It's got Alvin Kamara in the ownership group. It's got Mr. Worldwide Pitbull in the ownership group. It is trying to become younger and cooler. And it's working. You got more inclusivity in the sport than you've ever had before. And if NASCAR, here's the fun little secret. And this is true of every sport, NBA, NFL, MLB, MLS, doesn't matter. If I have two options, option one is I can keep my tried and true original fan base and not work on growing the sport. And option B is I can lose 10% of my traditional fan base. But for every one of them I lose, I get, let's keep it low. If for every fan I lose, I get one and one half new fans back. I get two new fans back. Guess what I'm doing, kids? I'm changing. I'm evolving. I'm growing. I'm changing the game. Because one and a half new fans are worth one and a half times an old fan. So yes, is it an identity crisis? Yes, but it's not in terms of the tracks and the cities they're running in. It's in terms of trying to be younger and cooler and more appealing to a larger fan base because, and this is also true, you need money to exist. A long time ago, in a galaxy far, far away, this radio station sounded very different than it does today. It had a different group of hosts who had a different style of radio. And there were a lot of people who really liked that sound. We just want college football all the time. Oh, that's all we want. 4 hours. College football. And then one day the station went, you know what? We kind of need to change the sound up a little bit because we think we can involve more people. We're still going to talk college football, just like NASCAR's still going to race on mile and a half cookie cutters. We're still going to talk a lot of college football, just like NASCAR is still going to have engineers and mechanics, and that's going to be part of the racing. But we also need to make sure that the people who want NFL have NFL. The people who want NBA have NBA. The people who, God forbid, want soccer have some soccer. We need to change the sound, and we'll grow the audience. And it did, and it worked. Did we lose some traditional old fan listeners that went, oh, they're not talking college football, I'm out? Probably, but we are also, and this is provable in the ratings, picking up people who want more than just college football. Let's keep going.
Yeah. Because every business in this country wants to grow. You got a business, Cole. You may think it's doing pretty well. Guess what? You want to grow it.
That's right.
And that's what these NASCAR owners, is what the France family wants to do also. I completely understand it. But you also have to consider at what expense. We're growing this sport with new audience members at what cost? And
for the record, I'm really excited to see what he says here. Because you're right. At what cost? Ordinarily, when somebody says, but at what cost? What it means is, I know the cost. The cost is very high, and I don't know if the cost is worth it. That's what it means, right? At what cost? We got to make an assault on the beachhead. We've got to take this bunker. And you go, at what cost? Is the bunker really doing enough damage that we need to throw entire platoons at it? At what cost?
That's something that NASCAR has got to figure out. I don't know the answer to that question. I don't know if they say to themselves, well, we're never going to get those people back. So why don't we just go silly with it, you know, and have it be Caddyshack 2. They took what was a fine, beautiful golf course and they turned it into an over-the-top spectacle.
Correct.
And that's kind of what's happening with a lot of sports right now. It's what's happening with boxing, with Jake Paul fighting 65-year-old men.
Okay, that's not boxing's fault. All right? That's not boxing's fault. This, I didn't know I was going down this path. That's not boxing's fault. That's our fault. Because here's the fun thing. Here's the other part of it. Do you know what sports are going to do? Whatever we watch. Whatever we watch, that's what they're going to do. Do you know why? Yeah, everybody gets mad. Oh, you know, the NFL is such a pass-heavy league. Do you know why the NFL has shifted all the rules to make offense more exciting? Because there's this unique American mentality that the only thing that matters is touchdowns. It's like watching baseball. You give me a classic pitcher's duel. Give me two pitchers racing to a no-hitter. If I ever watch two pitchers simultaneously like fight a no-no into the bottom of the ninth, it'll be the greatest baseball game I've ever watched in my life. And do you know what fans would say on my show the next day? God, Rob, that was boring as hell. That's boring.
That's like when Greg Maddux won the 86 pitch complete game shutout. You remember that?
I think it was 76. But yes.
Yeah, remember, it was like the 90s or what?
One of the greatest, against the Chicago Cubs, one of the greatest games of my lifetime. If that happened nowadays, you'd have about 25% of fans who go, that was the most incredible pitching performance I've ever seen. And then you'd have people the next day go, was it actually bad for baseball? No. It was great. The problem is, and I had this fight with Cody Decker on Bet for the Cycle the other day. The problem is we've developed this American mentality that you don't give a damn about the game. You only care about touchdowns or goals or baskets or home runs, right? And there's a place for that. Big home run derby guy over here. Love the field for the derby this year. Shockingly, turned out pretty good. But if you only, and this is part of the problem with NASCAR, is you have to find the beauty in the playing of the game, not just a touchdown or a basket or a home run, right? This is why soccer is having such a hard time growing in this country, because Americans, by and large, we watch to see the moment. We watch to see a moment. We watch to see a moment. We watch to see a touchdown or a sack. We watch to see a three-point shot or a dunk. We watch to see a home run or a pickoff at second base on a runner stealing. You got to learn to see the beauty in the game. When it comes to baseball, when you watch for a home run, you know what you miss? You know what my favorite thing is? The psychological battle between a pitcher and a batter. What's he going to throw next? What does he think I'm going to throw next? Well, I think he's going to throw this next, and he's going to think that I got to think that he's going to throw this next. So what I actually am going to look for is this. And the pitcher going, well, I was going to throw a fastball, but he's looking for a fastball. But maybe he knows that I know that he's looking for a fastball, so he's going to look for a curveball. So I should throw the fastball because he's going to think I'm throwing the curveball to avoid him looking. That's beauty to me. The beauty in soccer is I tried to explain this to Deck. He doesn't get it either, and that's okay. When I watch soccer, you guys watch the man with the ball. You know where the beauty in soccer is played? It's not the guy with the ball. The beauty in soccer is played in the four on the back line setting an onside strike, having to play hips on a string, all moving forward and backwards at the same time. That's art. That's poetry in sports. If you're only watching for a goal, you're watching 2% of any given soccer game when the beauty is in the game. The beauty is in the tactics, in the movement, etc. The same is true for NASCAR. NASCAR has a hard time, just like soccer, not because it's boring, but because there's not that moment. People watch Talladega and Daytona. Why? The big one. That's what they're tuned in for. People will watch 500 miles, 4 hours of racing to see a crash. Learn to appreciate a driver who understands and runs the bump draft. Learn to appreciate a pit crew who can get a guy out there a half a second faster than everybody else and it wins a race. Learn to appreciate that. And now all of a sudden, every damn moment of a NASCAR race is exciting.
Fighting ex-MMA fighters who are over their prime. I mean,
not boxing's fault.
What does that tell you? And that's not good boxing. It's not good boxing.
Hey, Diesel said something smart.
To watch a dude who's been in the sport for like 10 minutes fighting against one of the greatest of all time, who's now well over his prime age-wise.
Not boxing's fault. Again, but do you know why Jake Paul's doing this? Because people are going to give him $69.99 to watch it. I'm going to tell you right now, there's a lot that I don't want to do on the radio. But then people give me money to do it. Okay, I'm doing it now. That's America's fault. That's not boxing's fault. That's America's fault.
Mike Tyson's still terrifying to watch workout. If you ever watch those, oh my God.
Yeah, for 30 seconds at a time, dude. For 30 seconds. Mike Tyson looks good for about 30 seconds. Watch the long form trimming videos. After 45 seconds, my man's out of gas. Jake Paul's going to kick his ass because he's going to go one round looking like Mike Tyson. And then in round number two, he's going to look like garbage.
If I'm Jake Paul, I understand why he's pushing that fight back. But I mean, it's silly. it's over the top. And I guess that's what gets people to tune in, mm-hmm. right? They're taking that social media model of let's make this as silly and stupid as we can mm-hmm. to get people to tune in and buy it.
Mm-hmm.
NASCAR is not Formula One. NASCAR's never been Formula One. NASCAR, at the height of its sport, Diesel, was not having to go to downtown Chicago and put a can out on the side of the street and shake their can and say, please put...
he said shake their can.
...money in my jar. Please watch my sport. At the height of their sport, they were taking names and kicking butt in the places that made their sport what it was. And I don't think the solution to growing the sport is street courses in downtown Chicago. Yes, it gets new eyeballs on the sport. I get that.
That's literally it, though, right? That's literally it. Well, at the height. No. At the height where you considered it the height. That's my fight here. That's my problem. And I that might be the harshest thing that I say to my guy, C Money. Cole, love you like a brother. Really do. Taylor Swift heart hands emoji. Okay? Love him like a brother. But he's fallen into what I think is a trap. And the trap is thinking that when it was your favorite thing, that was its height, right? This is a fight we have in the NBA all the time. Well, NBA is not the same. Who's your fan? Ask any guy who says the NBA is not good anymore. Ask him who their favorite player is. It's Magic, Bird, Jordan, or somebody in that range. Right? It's somebody in that range. Because that was when they liked it the best, and therefore they considered it the height of that thing. Ask anybody who said they love NBA today who their favorite player is. It's LeBron, or it's Steph, or it's Kobe, or it's, you know, Ant-Man Edwards, or whoever. It's somebody from that's more recent. The height, when you considered it the height, isn't the height. It's your height. And that's okay. That's okay. That's when it was your favorite thing, and now they're doing things that aren't your favorite, and that's okay. But the height... NASCAR is not making as much money as it could. It's not at the height of being what it can be down the line. What I am talking about here, what I'm looking at here is how much money can I make versus how much money am I making versus how much money have I made? I can promise you that when NASCAR was at its height, as described by my dog Cole Bryson right here, I promise you they weren't making 70% of the money that they are making today.
Well, no, also know, Cole, that, you know, saying to him that, you know, the height, well, sports evolve. Every sport evolves to fit today's, which is the here and now mentality. You know, you just said you hit the nail on the head with regards to basketball of back in the day. That was the height for our time because that's when we watched it.
Yeah, it's your height.
Everything evolves and changes to fit today's societal structure.
Let's say this race goes to Chicago, Illinois. Chicago has a population of 2.665 million people. Let's say that 1% of Chicago becomes a NASCAR fan. You are talking thousands of new fans. And if they go to Chicago, and I know that there have been races at Chicago, like traditional races in the past, but if they go to Chicago and they run it in the city or really right outside of it, and 1% of that place goes, I'm going to go check this out. You were talking thousands of fans at the track, and if even 10% of them go, I'm a NASCAR fan now. That is a ton. So guess what those people are saying now that they have a race and it's in their backyard and they have access to it and they can go and they can put eyes on the product and now it hooks them. You know what those people are saying? This is the height of NASCAR. This is the best it's ever been. Your height, but it's not everybody else's.
That's not what this sport is. If you want to create another sport where that's what you are, where that's what your identity is, then by all means, go for it. But NASCAR to me is Martinsville, North Wilkesboro, Darlington.
But right? See, this is the other part. Those things don't have to go away. We're still going to race Daytona and Talladega and Pocono and North Wilkesboro for the All-Star race, and we're still going to race Charlotte, and we're still going to race Darlington, and we're still going to race Martinsville. We're still going to race Bristol. All those tracks are still here, right? It would be one thing if they said, you know, as of next year, we're getting rid of every traditional Southeastern track and we're doing Chicago and Los Angeles. We're not doing that. We're not doing this. Was one race in Chicago, right? Guess where they back are this week? Back on the old circuit. Back, what I think Pocono this weekend. Back on the old circuit. It's one race. It's one race. They're not changing the identity of the sport. They are changing it in that we're not just going circles, left-hand turns all the time now. We're adding different, but this is why I've made the argument before. To me, if NASCAR is going to crown the best driver on the circuit, it should be the most versatile driver on the circuit. It should be somebody that can drive 1.5 mile cookie cutters, short tracks, super speedways, intermediate speedways, road courses, street courses. I want to see who the most well-rounded overall driver is, not the guy who can go the fastest and turn the leftest.
That's what NASCAR is to me. To me, NASCAR is not what I saw yesterday in downtown Chicago.
All right, so there you go. That's basically the end of it. Again, love the boys. But to me, the reality of this whole situation is very simple. This race was a race designed for the last 2 years to open up NASCAR to a new batch of fans. And as Cole himself said in that same segment, if you ain't growing, you're dying. Welcome to America. If you ain't growing, you're dying. If you ain't moving forward, you're moving backwards. Just because it was your height doesn't mean it's the height. And even though that, let's say that was your low point, you know who it was a high point for? Tens of thousands of people who were in Chicago who went, let's say regular thousands of people. Let's say there's 5,000 out of 6.223 million people. 5,000 people went, damn, this is kind of dope. I'm kind of in for this now. Where are they racing next weekend? And now they're fans? This is the height of NASCAR for them. So I get what you're saying. I understand what you're saying. It ain't the way you like it. But that's just kind of how it works. There's a lot of NFL fans that do not like where the NFL is right now in terms of offense being given all the advantages. A lot of NBA fans who do not like where the NBA is right now. And all of them will say, this was the height. And it was when they were most in love with the sport. Doesn't make it the height, right? NFL's at its height today. Record viewership. NBA just signed a $76 billion with a B dollar media rights deal. Do you think that they were at their height in 1991 when they were fighting to get on TV? No. They just signed a $76 billion contract for the sport that nobody watches anymore. ABC thinks they do. All right, let's run to a break. We'll come back. I got a few more thoughts. Then Rashad Beard coming up at 8:40, 9 o'clock. I don't know what we're going to do. We're going to see. Rob Alonso and you, the Rob Brown Show, rolls on. It is the Fan Upstate.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, quick segment here because we've got Rashad Beard coming up to talk Panther football in the next segment. Got a text during the break there from a texter that said, in fact, let me go pull up the entire text because it got split in two, but it says, Rob, the popularity of NASCAR is measurable. The ratings are down. It's not at its height. You know, I thought, okay, let's take a look. Here's what I got. Here are the ratings that we have so far. And they're obviously, they come out a couple of weeks behind the race. So we'll find out what the Chicago ratings were about 2 weeks from now. Iowa, 2.7 million viewers. Let's see here. St. Louis, double-digit viewership increase. Coca-Cola 600 at Charlotte took a hit, but keep in mind, that was also because it was up against the Indy 500 and major rain delay. 2.573 million for the All-Star race. That is up 17% from last year. They lost 2% for the race at Darlington, but I will also point out, and I, again, every factor matters, may not matter all that much, but that was also up against the U.S. Open, which was where? Charlotte, North Carolina. I think there's a decent crossover between golf and NASCAR in the Carolinas. So you had a lot of people tuned into Charlotte, but only a 2% drop. We go to Kansas, 2.296 million, down 2% in that race. For the race at Dover, 2.401 million, increase of 1%. Adam Stern reports 4.303 million for the race at Talladega. That is almost double all the other races. Texter said, okay, now compare the numbers to 5, 10 years ago. Here's what I'll tell you what. And I do want to be fair, Texter. I do want to be fair. I'll take a look. I don't know what the ratings were 5 years ago. Maybe I should, but I'm dumb and have a short memory. I'm being willing to bet they're higher now. I'd be willing to bet. I could be wrong. You might be right. I might be crazy. You just may be the lunatic I'm looking for. But I don't think they're gonna be lower than 5 or 6 years ago. And again, even if they are, let's say that they are. Do you think a race at Chicago sent them there? Do you think a race at Chicago is what pushed it? Or do you think it's like the overall thing? I don't know. Let's see. Cole just sent me a... Okay, Adam Stern. This is from Cole Bryson. NBC got 3.87 million viewers for the Chicago street race compared to last year. Isn't fully direct after mid-race red flag, but 2023 event got nearly 4.8 million. Sunday's viewership was still 35% higher than average NASCAR race on NBC last year. So you lost viewers from last year. And as has been pointed out in the same tweet, and I think it's fair, I don't think it's worth a million people, but there's a red flag in the race. Red flags are a death sentence to a NASCAR race. People tune out and they do not come back. That every race that there is one of those, every race that there is one of those, it drops. And that's fair of anything, right? Because those red flags can be 20 minutes, they can be 2 hours. Viewership tanks with a red flag. And you also had the rain shortened impact as well. So you got 900,000 viewers less this year than last year. Let's also point out, last year was the novel event. Last year was the first time. Last year was something a lot of people had never seen before. I know it sounds like I'm making excuses. These are variables in the equation. But then there's lessons. Still 35% higher than any average NASCAR race on the same network. That number's big. Over a third larger audience than any other race on the NASCAR, on the NBC network. I think it matters. It does. And again, I'm not saying they're going to go back and they're going to race Chicago every single year. I'm saying it was a novel event last year. It got 5 million viewers. I'm saying it was a second time in a different setting this year. And it got them 900,000 less, but it still got them 35% more viewers than any other race. Like I said, I do think that it matters. I do think that it matters. And guess what we're doing in the world of NASCAR? We ran one race that was out of the norm. We ran one race that was different. We ran one race in a different spot. And what are we doing now? We're going to Pocono. Then we're going to Indianapolis. Then we're going to Richmond. We're back on the circuit. We're back on the circuit. It was one standoff race. Just like... Do you think the NFL's got a huge audience in Rio de Janeiro, Brasilia? Probably not. You think they got a huge audience in London, England? No. No. They have an audience. Is it huge? No. Do you think Major League Baseball's got a huge following in London? No. All these other sports are doing the same thing. Why? Because it works. Because it works. You had the Phillies and the, who was it, the Dodgers go over and play a series in London?
Yep. Not very fun to watch, but they played in London.
Sure.
And also you got the
yeah, the Dodgers go play in Korea against the Padres.
I was just about to say Dodgers play Korea.
You have not just is the NFL sending NFL games overseas. We are sending more this season than last season. Because now we're going to Brazil. We got, what, five in London, four in London, one in Germany, right? There's a reason. Do you think the NFL's doing a damn thing that will lose them even a red cent? No. So why? Because it's an out-of-the-norm thing, and we're all going to gripe and complain. I'm not, because 9 a.m. football on Sundays? Hell yeah! I get to watch the first game without even getting out of bed and putting pants on. Hell yeah! It makes some money. It makes some money. That's why they're doing it. All right, we got to run to a break. When we come back, Rashad Beard of the Panther Nation podcast joins us to talk Carolina Panther football. That is up next on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate. Ladies and gentlemen, allow me to tell you about our friends at New Life Weight Loss. I've been working with New Life Weight Loss for about 2.5 months now. I'm down over 40 pounds, and here is my favorite part. I have, in years gone by, had to drop LBs before. And it basically came down to eat a bunch of grilled chicken and rice and not anything else. Like maybe you can sniff some broccoli or something every now and then. New Life did not do that to me. New Life take a look at the world that I live in, my schedule, my life events, whatever. And they said, all right, man, let's put you together a plan that works for you and your life. And they did. They put me together a plan that allows me to cook and eat dinners that I love. They put me together a plan that I don't have to be afraid. When somebody says, hey, you want to go try out this or that new restaurant? I can go, yeah, because there's going to be a bunch of stuff on that menu that's good for me, that I can eat, that fits within my plan. And once I get down to my goal weight, which I now have less than 5 pounds to go to get where I want to be, and I'm going to keep going. When I get to that goal weight, whatever my end up weight seems to be, when I get to that point, I'm going to have built new habits. I'm going to have built a new relationship with food, meaning I'm not just going to bounce up and down between weights like I've done throughout my entire adult life. I have developed new habits courtesy of New Life Weight Loss that will keep me at that weight, and I'm very, very excited about it. Check out their website at mynewlifeweightloss.com, mynewlifeweightloss.com, or you can give them a buzz today at 864-686-5820, 864-686-5820. It's New Life Weight Loss. Welcome back to the Rob Brown Show on your radio. It is the Fan Upstate. It is a little bit after 8:40. Got a little behind the eight ball. Very passionate discussion going on this morning, and we're going to keep that rolling now because we welcome to the show. Joining us here on the live stream, he is the host of the Panther Nation podcast. Joins us at this time every Thursday to talk a little silver and blue ball. My guy Rashad Beard in the house. What's up, big fella? Do number one. How about that one? Keep pushing all the on buttons until we find Rashad. Buttons. There he is.
Press all the buttons.
We just most of my career, Rashad, is just push buttons until something good happens.
Something's gonna work eventually. Just keep pressing the buttons.
And that's true on both control boards and people. You know what I mean? Like just keep pushing buttons until somebody does something.
It's very true.
How we feeling, big dog?
I'm good, man. I was just saying before we went live, I just wanted to say this is amazing to me. The trust you have, and I'm just going to show up. Like, you know, there's no interaction. I appreciate the trust, man. I really appreciate that.
Listen, Rashad either drops me an email at like 1:30 in the morning the night before, like, dude, I got better things to do, or he shows up. It's one or the other.
Yeah, I try my best, man, but it's just amazing. I don't think many people have that much trust in me, but I appreciate it.
I mean, you ain't let me down yet, big dog. You ain't let me down yet. Listen, anybody that meets me at an away game and shoots brown liquor before kickoff with me, that guy's all right in my book.
Oh yeah, anytime you want to do that, I'm down,
bro. Every away game, I'm coming up every New Orleans game from here until they kick my ass off the radio, bro. That's how it's gonna go. Let's do this, Rashad. Earlier in the day, Brandon and I were taking a look at win-loss totals for these teams. And you and I talked about this a couple of weeks ago. The betting public backing Carolina on the over right now. The over-under win total started at 4.5. It is raised up to 5.5. And the minus money's on the over, which means that the bettors believe it's the over. So we went up and down the schedule, and we basically just went wins, loss, based on what we know today. A lot of development left, a lot that we need to see happen with camps and all that, preseason, whatever. But I got us to 5 pretty easy, all right? I think 5 was an easy number to get to. I split home and away in the division, 3 home games. I gave them all 3 to Carolina, Saints, Tampa, and Atlanta. And I took losses on the road for all 3. If I asked you right now to give me like 2 victories, 2 surprise wins for the Panthers on this schedule, could you find them?
Surprise, 2 surprise wins. Yeah. So you're giving me the Giants. You're probably going to give me that one.
I'm going to give you the Giants. But I would let you count the Raiders on the road as a surprise win. I'd let you count Chicago on the road as a surprise win.
Yeah, I think the Chargers is one that we could sneak out. That's a game that's at home, and I think we can get that one. I would also say, I don't know if this is a big shocker, but I think we can beat the Commanders on the road. If you want to call that one a shocker, then I'm with you on that one. I think we can beat the Cardinals at home, so I can get us up. I mean, I can get us up to legit 6, easily 6 wins. You know what I mean? If we're just going there. So, I think there's a couple more. There's a couple more out there.
Yeah.
I think we'll sneak out.
So you just named 2 of mine, right? Like, I think the Arizona Cardinals are a win. I think the Washington Commanders, it is a little bit later in the season. Cliff Kingsbury may or may not have found something, but I also am not, like, I think Kyler Murray's okay, even at his best. Mm-hmm. I think he's okay. And the good news with the Chargers game, you got that week 2. They got a brand new head coach. They did not go replace their wide receivers for Justin Herbert. They're going to try to ground and pound, and with Derrick Brown in the middle, I'll absolutely take Carolina if it comes down to a game that somebody wants to go 3 yards in a cloud of dust. I think it's a great matchup, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I do. I think that Chargers, like I said, I think that's a 1 o'clock game too. On the road, they've got to take that road trip. I think we can catch them slipping pretty easily. And I like your Bears. I like your Bears pick. I think that, I think Bryce has got he's got it in for the Bears. You know, the whole trading the picks and was he worth it and all that talk, Caleb Williams, rookie quarterback. I think that is also a winnable. It's a tough one. I think, you know, they've got some talent on that roster for sure. But I think the Bears game is one I would also throw out there. So I can make an argument for 7 to 8 wins. I don't think I would go that far, but right now I'm going to Vegas the week after next. I may throw some down, Rob. I may throw some down in that over 6. I think I may do it.
I'm telling you, you get it 5.5 right now. Get it at 5.5 yeah. Right now. 6 wins cashes. I think you're set,
I think,
man.
I'm going to do it.
Hey, Rashad,
I think I'm going to do it.
I say you guys are silly. And Rob shook his head. I said, the Panthers start 0-6.
Bro, he said we're silly, and then he gave the Falcons 13 wins.
That's right. Falcons rise up.
Oh, dude, he's a Falcon, so he can't even trust this guy.
Thank you.
Hey, I've been a fan since 92. Come on now.
Where's Zoe? Where's Zoe? Get
thank
this
you.
Guy out of here, man.
Thank you.
13 wins for the Falcons.
Yep.
Nah, not happening.
Thank you. All right. Got a couple other things to get into. I don't think we really need to address necessarily what happened. But as far as consequences of it, the whole Adrian Wilson situation, former Panthers vice president of player personnel, obviously arrested. He got canned before that announcement came out. Everybody's kind of like, what's going on? Now we know. Have you heard anything? Is there anything as far as what impact that might have on the franchise that we're concerned about?
So I don't think they're going to publicly say anything about the impact, but I can tell you this. I said this on my show. I think it's a major, major loss for the Carolina Panthers, losing Adrian Wilson. Obviously they did the right thing. And I want to give them props for handling that situation the way they did. That situation came up on the first and occurred on the first, and they didn't do anything until July, first of June. They didn't announce anything to July. You know what I mean? So this, they handled it well. I'm sure they did an internal investigation. They did what they needed to do. So kudos to the Panthers for handling that properly. And they did what they needed to do. They did the right thing. Obviously what happened was terrible, and that is not tolerated under any circumstances. So, but in regards to the Carolina Panthers, I do think that the impact will be felt. I think that Adrian Wilson was a guy that was in line to be a GM, maybe not here, but for someone else. If you can recall, the NFL did put rules in place for minority candidates getting hired elsewhere, right? And so if he was here for 2 years and he got another job, a GM job, we would have received two third-round comp picks. So that is something that many people may not be talking about. Obviously, we don't really care about the picks. The situation is bigger than that, but that is a lesser known thing that people aren't really talking about. I do think he was being groomed to be, and I think, listen, everybody talks about Adrian Wilson. He was a guy that was highly touted from a GM standpoint. He was going to be a GM sooner rather than later. And so I think it's a big loss from that perspective.
Yeah, I don't disagree. All right, there is something that happened the other day that I wanted to get your thoughts on, and it's kind of subjective. It's a bit abstract, but I was watching Hard Knocks. I was watching episode one of Hard Knocks. I don't know if you've gotten to see it yet, but there's about a 45-second scene, about halfway through episode one, where the GM of the Giants, Dave Schein, is talking to Dave Canales on the field at one of the scouting events, Senior Bowl or something. And he says, Dave Canales says to him, "Do you want to give us two first for Brian Burns?" And Schein says, "I do not. I'd love to, but I do not." And Canales then says, "What about a first and something else?" And Schein says, "We're moving in the right direction." And I don't know why, dude. Like, settle me down or whatever you want to do here. I don't know why, but it bothered the hell out of me, right? Like, it felt like, and I'm these guys are friends, they're buddies. I'm sure it was just a joke, a toss-off. But it just kind of put Carolina in a bad light. It almost sounded like Canales was, like, begging him to take Brian Burns. Like, just we'll take what we can get at this point to move on from Brian Burns. And I know that the relationship had soured, and I know there was a lot going on in the background. But, man, like, it just didn't sit right with me for some reason.
Yeah, I get it, man. I get it. And I think the fans, all the fans, the buzz around that clip is that we were fleeced and all that. And I get it, man. But at the end of the day, you got to do what you got to do. And I think that Morgan, I think they handled it properly. They got what they could get. And I don't think they anticipated that being on Hard Knocks. Maybe they didn't. I'm sure they knew that the camera crew was there and all that. But I mean, yeah, you don't like to see those things get out there publicly, but these negotiations happen all the time, and we're not privy to that information until it gets released like it did. And so, I agree with you. I think that it doesn't look good, but that's kind of the nature of the beast, and we had to get what we can get given the circumstances.
All right, I was looking yesterday evening as I was sitting there watching Charlotte, North Carolina for the first time have a stadium full of sports fans, but it was for a South American soccer match, and I'll come to that here in just a second. But as I was flipping around, I came across an article posted to Sports Illustrated entitled "The Conversation No One Wants to Have in Carolina," and the whole premise was Carolina wants to build around Bryce Young, quote, "but what if he's not the guy," end quote. Brandon doesn't believe in Bryce Young. Zoe doesn't believe in Bryce Young. I've seen a good chunk of analysts don't believe in Bryce Young. Look, you locked in with the dude for at least another probably two seasons, one way or the next. But if I handed you a microphone to speak to the country, Rashad Beard, in order to attempt, or in your choice not to, it's up to you, to win these people over after what we've seen with spring camps, what would you say, open letter style?
Yeah, as a person with an associate's in knowing of football, I believe that if if you watch the football games last year, I believe that Bryce Young, we don't know that he's going to be the answer. We just don't know. There's too many unknowns, but you have to give the young man another shot, given all the circumstances that were around him. His coach that drafted him got fired midseason. He had zero protection. We've upgraded everything around him, including the coaching staff. And so I think that the kid, if you watch the kid in Alabama, I mean, if you watch a little bit of film, you see the kid. He's got the talent. He's been great since high school. I know it's the NFL, and might be a little short. There's things that we just can't change. But the kid can play football. We've seen it. He can play a high level of football. And I think that we just need to give him a little bit of time. And I think that, he deserves two more years just to at least figure it out. Get this coaching staff an opportunity to develop him as he should have been developed last year. Canales has done wonders with Geno Smith. He's done wonders with Baker Mayfield. I mean, if you want a one-to-one comparison, I mean, you saw what Baker Mayfield did last year. And we do think that Canales can give a slight improvement or hopefully a drastic improvement like he did with Bryce and Geno. With Baker and Geno. So again, we need to. I understand we want things. This is a microwave society. We want it done right now, but we have to see. We have to take a little bit of. You have a little patience. Have a little patience. Let the kid develop. And I firmly believe that everything that has happened this offseason has set up Bryce Young. And it's not just about him individually. Like we got to stop with the individualism and just like it's all on Bryce. Like no, this is a team sport. He had nobody around him last year, and we got the support for him, and I believe that that's going to improve the play of Bryce Young. And that concludes my State of the Carolina Panthers speech.
The self round of applause. I like it. I like it. Yeah, I did. Good job, me. Good job.
Hey, I'm clapping too, Rashad.
I'm also going to say I'm 100% stealing the term microwave society. That's excellent. That's excellent work. Yeah. I dig that. True. Devin Adams in the chat said, can't wait to pull out the receipts for the Bryce haters. And I will tell you, I don't know if you're doing this, Rashad. I'm saving them. I got recordings. I got audio. I got YouTube videos. And I will call if it's wrong and they're right, I'll give them the props too. I'll hand them the flowers. But I'm going to be straight up like a ton of people I don't think are saying Bryce ain't the guy because they've got anything to back it up. It's just a shot in the dark, right? Like, to me, it's the same as if somebody who wins the lottery wakes up the next day and goes, I told you I knew the numbers. No, you didn't, dog. You took a stab in the dark and you got lucky.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, people are just guessing out here. And like I said, Canales, man, he's done this. I believe in Canales, and I'm hoping he's the right guy. Nobody knows, but I think he's going to do wonders for Bryce, for sure.
Let me say this, because Deontay just chopped up. He said, Bryce deserves 2 years, but if he doesn't pan it out, got to be really the way. I've said this, Rashad, I'll give you this, and then we got to run to the break. This is, to me, I know I've said it, for whatever reason, it infuriates Lonzo. I don't care, I'm riding with it. And I say it sounds like a joke, it's not to me. This is Bryce Young's rookie year to me. But it wasn't just Frank Reich last year and the switch over to Tabor. It was also Frank Reich coming off of the disaster that was Matt Rhule, which set you even further back than just Frank Reich being bad. To me, I am giving Bryce Young this year as his rookie year, next year as his second, same as I did with Trevor Lawrence. I'm giving him this year as a rookie year, next year as a sophomore. If he sucks this year, I mean sucks, like clearly this guy just ain't got it. Even when things are good, he's not. Then we'll have a conversation. But here's the thing. I didn't see that last year. As bad as his team was last year, there was no point last year where I went, that dude's just bad at football.
Yeah, I completely agree. He's going to be fine. And I believe in Bryce. Everybody else should. Let's pump the brakes and let's see what we got in him.
I dig it. Rashad Beard, host the Panther Nation podcast. You can follow them on X at Panther Nation PC. More importantly, make sure that you're liked up and subscribed to the YouTube channel. They're live all the time. What you guys got coming up?
Yeah, training camp coming up, man. Got some VIP tickets for that. So that should be very interesting. I'm going to be sitting right there, nose to nose with Bryce. I'm going to be seeing what's going on. I'm going to report back to the whole audience and say, hey, this guy's legit. Right. So, yeah, it's going to be great.
Lonzo's not here, so I'm going to say what he would say. Oh, you're going to squat down so you're nose-to-nose with Bryce?
That is funny, though.
I know. That's what infuriates me is he's got good jokes. I hate him, but he's got good jokes. Rashad Beard, appreciate you, Big Dub. We'll talk to you next week, brother.
Peace out, guys. Thank you so much.
That is Rashad Beard for the Panther Nation podcast. Time for a sports flash, and then we're back for hour number four after this.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And
thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Welcome back to the Rob Brown Show on your radio. It is the Fan Upstate. It is a little bit after 8:40. Got a little behind the eight ball. Very passionate discussion going on this morning, and we're going to keep that rolling now because we welcome to the show, joining us here on the live stream, he is the host of the Panther Nation podcast, joins us at this time every Thursday to talk a little silver and blue ball. My guy Rashad Beard in the house. What's up, big fella? Do number one. How about that one? Keep pushing all the on buttons until we find Rashad. Buttons. There he is!
Press all the buttons.
We just most of my career, Rashad, is just push buttons until something good happens.
Something's going to work eventually. Just keep pressing the buttons.
And that's true on both control boards and people. You know what I mean? Like, just keep pushing buttons until somebody does something.
It's very true.
How we feeling, big dog?
I'm good, man. I was just saying before we went live, I just wanted to say this is amazing to me. The trust you have, and I'm just going to show up. Like, you know, there's no interaction. I appreciate the trust, man. I really appreciate that.
Listen, Rashad either drops me an email at like 1:30 in the morning the night before, like, dude, I got better things to do, or he shows up. It's one or the other.
Yeah, I try my best, man, but it's just amazing. I don't think many people have that much trust in me, but I appreciate it.
I mean, you ain't let me down yet, big dog. You ain't let me down yet. Listen, anybody that meets me at an away game and shoots brown liquor before kickoff with me, that guy's all right in my book.
Oh, yeah. Anytime you want to do that, I'm down.
Bro, every away game. I'm coming up every New Orleans game from here until they kick my ass off the radio, bro. That's how it's going to go. Let's do this, Rashad. Earlier in the day, Brandon and I were taking a look at win-loss totals for these teams. And you and I talked about this a couple of weeks ago. The betting public backing Carolina on the over right now. The over-under win total started at 4.5. It is raised up to 5.5, and the minus money's on the over, which means that the bettors believe it's the over. So we went up and down the schedule, and we basically just went wins, loss, based on what we know today. A lot of development left, a lot that we need to see happen with camps and all that, preseason, whatever. But I got us to 5 pretty easy. All right, I think 5 was an easy number to get to. I split home and away in the division, 3 home games. I gave them all 3 to Carolina, Saints, Tampa, and Atlanta, and I took losses on the road for all 3. If I asked you right now to give me like 2 victories, 2 surprise wins for the Panthers on this schedule, could you find them?
Two surprise wins. Yeah. So you're giving me the Giants. You're probably going to give me that one.
I'm going to give you the Giants, but I would let you count the Raiders on the road as a surprise win. I'd let you count Chicago on the road as a surprise win.
Yeah, I think the Chargers is one that we could sneak out. That's a game that's at home. And I think we can get that one. I would also say, I don't know if this is a big shocker, but I think we can beat the Commanders on the road. If you want to call that one a shocker, then I'm with you on that one. I think we can beat the Cardinals at home. So I can get us up. I mean, I can get us up to legit 6 wins. You know what I mean? If we're just going there. So, I think there's a couple more. There's a couple more out there.
Yeah.
I think we'll sneak out.
So you just named 2 of mine, right? Like, I think the Arizona Cardinals are a win. I think the Washington Commanders, it is a little bit later in the season. Cliff Kingsbury may or may not have found something, but I also am not, like, I think Kyler Murray's okay, even at his best. Mm-hmm. I think he's okay. And the good news with the Chargers game, you got that week two. They got a brand new head coach. They did not go replace their wide receivers for Justin Herbert. They're going to try to ground and pound, and with Derek Brown in the middle, I'll absolutely take Carolina if it comes down to a game that somebody wants to go 3 yards in a cloud of dust. I think it's a great matchup, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I do. I think that Chargers, like I said, I think that's a 1 o'clock game too. On the road, they've got to take that road trip. I think we can catch them slipping pretty easily. And I like your Bears. I like your Bears pick. I think that, I think Bryce has got he's got it in for the Bears. You know, the whole trading the picks and was he worth it and all that talk, Caleb Williams, rookie quarterback. I think that is also a winnable. It's a tough one. I think, you know, they've got some talent on that roster for sure. But I think the Bears game is one I would also throw out there. So I can make an argument for 7 to 8 wins. I don't think I would go that far, but right now I'm going to Vegas the week after next. I may throw some down, Rob. I may throw some down in that over 6. I think I may do it.
I'm telling you, you get it 5.5 right now. Get it at 5.5 right now. 6 wins cashes. I think you're set,
I think,
man.
I'm going to do it.
Hey, Rashad,
I think I'm going to do it.
I say,
hey,
I say you guys are silly. Rob shook his head. I said, the Panthers start 0-6.
Bro, he said we're silly, and then he gave the Falcons 13 wins.
That's right. Falcons rise up.
Oh, dude, he's a Falcon, so he can't even trust this guy.
Thank you.
Hey, I've been a fan since 92. Come on now.
Where's Zoe? Where's Zoe? Get
thank
this
you.
Guy out of here, man.
Thank you.
13 wins for the Falcons.
Yep.
Nah, not happening.
Thank you. All right. Got a couple other things to get into. I don't think we really need to address necessarily what happened. But as far as consequences of it, the whole Adrian Wilson situation, former Panthers vice president of player personnel, obviously arrested. He got canned before that announcement came out. Everybody's kind of like, what's going on? Now we know. Have you heard anything? Is there anything as far as what impact that might have on the franchise that we're concerned about?
So I don't think they're going to publicly say anything about the impact, but I can tell you this. I said this on my show. I think it's a major loss for the Carolina Panthers, losing Adrian Wilson. Obviously, they did the right thing, and I want to give them props for handling that situation the way they did. That situation came up on the 1st and occurred on the 1st, and they didn't do anything until July, 1st of June, and they didn't announce anything until July. You know what I mean? So they handled it well. I'm sure they did an internal investigation. They did what they needed to do. So kudos to the Panthers for handling that properly. And they did what they needed to do. They did the right thing. Obviously, what happened was terrible, and that is not tolerated under any circumstances. So, but in regards to the Carolina Panthers, I do think that the impact will be felt. I think that Adrian Wilson was a guy that was in line to be a GM, maybe not here, but for someone else. If you can recall, the NFL did put rules in place for minority candidates getting hired elsewhere, right? And so if he was here for 2 years and he got another job, a GM job, we would have received two third-round comp picks. So that is something that many people may not be talking about. Obviously, we don't really care about the picks. The situation is bigger than that, but that is a lesser-known thing that people aren't really talking about. I do think he was being groomed to be, and I think, listen, everybody talks about Adrian Wilson. He was a guy that was highly touted from a GM standpoint. He was going to be a GM sooner rather than later, so I think it's a big loss from that perspective.
Yeah, I don't disagree. All right, there is something that happened the other day that I wanted to get your thoughts on, and it's kind of subjective. It's a bit abstract, but I was watching Hard Knocks. I was watching episode 1 of Hard Knocks. I don't know if you've gotten to see it yet, but there's about a 45-second scene about halfway through episode 1 where the GM of the Giants, Dave Schein, is talking to Dave Canales on the field at one of the scouting events, Senior Bowl or something. And he says, Dave Canales says to him, do you want to give us 2 first for Brian Burns? And Schein says, I do not. I'd love to, but I do not. And Canales then says, what about a first and something else? And Schein says, we're moving in the right direction. And I don't know why, dude. Like settle me down or whatever you want to do here. I don't know why, but it bothered the hell out of me, right? Like it felt like, and these guys are friends, they're buddies. I'm sure it was just a joke, a toss-off. But it just kind of put, I thought, kind of put Carolina in a bad light. It almost sounded like Canales was like begging him to take Brian Burns. Like, just we'll take what we can get at this point to move on from Brian Burns. And I know that the relationship had soured, and I know there was a lot going on in the background. But, man, like, it just didn't sit right with me for some reason.
Yeah, I get it, man. I get it. And I think the fans, all the fans, the buzz around that clip is that we were fleeced and all that. And I get it, man. But at the end of the day, you got to do what you got to do. And I think that Morgan, I think they handled it properly. They got what they could get. And I don't think they anticipated that being on Hard Knocks. Maybe they didn't. I'm sure they knew that the camera crew was there and all that. But I mean, yeah, you don't like to see those things get out there publicly. But these negotiations happen all the time, and we're not privy to that information until it gets released like it did. And so, again, I agree with you. I think that it doesn't look good, but that's kind of the nature of the beast, and we had to get what we can get given the circumstances.
All right. I was looking yesterday evening as I was sitting there watching Charlotte, North Carolina for the first time have a stadium full of sports fans, but it was for a South American soccer match, and I'll come to that here in just a second. But as I was flipping around, I came across an article posted to Sports Illustrated entitled "The Conversation No One Wants to Have in Carolina," and the whole premise was Carolina wants to build around Bryce Young, quote, but what if he's not the guy, end quote. Brandon doesn't believe in Bryce Young. Zoe doesn't believe in Bryce Young. I've seen a good chunk of analysts don't believe in Bryce Young. Look, you're locked in with the dude for at least another probably two seasons, one way or the next. But if I handed you a microphone to speak to the country, Rashad Beard, in order to attempt, or in your choice not to, it's up to you, to win these people over after what we've seen with spring camps, what would you say, open letter style?
Yeah, as a person with an associate's in knowing of football, I believe that if you watch the football games last year, I believe that Bryce Young, who, we don't know that he's going to be the answer. We just don't know. There's too many unknowns, but you have to give the young man another shot, given all the circumstances that were around him. His coach that drafted him got fired midseason. He had zero protection. We've upgraded everything around him, including the coaching staff. And so I think that the kid, if you watch the kid in Alabama, if you watch a little bit of film, you see the kid. He's got the talent. He's been great since high school. I know it's the NFL, and might be a little short. There's things that we just can't change. But the kid can play football. We've seen it. He can play a high level of football. And I think that we just need to give him a little bit of time. And I think that, he deserves two more years just to at least figure it out. Get this coaching staff an opportunity to develop him as he should have been developed last year. Canales has done wonders with Geno Smith. He's done wonders with Baker Mayfield. I mean, if you want a one-to-one comparison, I mean, you saw what Baker Mayfield did last year. And we do think that Canales can give a slight improvement or hopefully a drastic improvement like he did with Bryce and Geno. With Baker and Geno. So, again, we need to – I understand. We want things. This is a microwave society. We want it done right now. But we have to see. We have to take a little bit of – have a little patience. Have a little patience. Let the kid develop. And I firmly believe that everything that has happened this offseason has set up Bryce Young. And it's not just about him individually. Like, we got to stop with the individualism and just, like, it's all on Bryce. Like, no, this is a team sport. He had nobody around him last year, and we got the support for him, and I believe that that's going to improve the play of Bryce Young. And that concludes my State of the Carolina Panthers speech.
The self round of applause. I like it. I like it. Yeah, I did. Good job, me. Good job.
Hey, I'm clapping too, Rashad.
I'm also going to say I'm 100% stealing the term microwave society. That's excellent. That's excellent work. Yeah. I dig that. True. Devin Adams in the chat said, can't wait to pull out the receipts for the Bryce haters. And I will tell you, I don't know if you're doing this, Rashad. I'm saving them. I got recordings. I got audio. I got YouTube videos. And I will call if it's wrong and they're right, I'll give them the props too. I'll hand them the flowers. But I'm going to be straight up, like, a ton of people I don't think are saying Bryce ain't the guy because they've got anything to back it up. It's just a shot in the dark, right? Like, to me, it's the same as if somebody who wins the lottery wakes up the next day and goes, I told you I knew the numbers. No, you didn't, dog. You took a stab in the dark and you got lucky.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, people are just guessing out here. And like I said, Canales, man, he's done this. I believe in Canales, and I'm hoping he's the right guy. Nobody knows, but I think he's going to do wonders for Bryce, for
sure.
Let me
say this, because Deontay just chopped up. He said Bryce deserves 2 years, but if he doesn't pan it out, got to be really the way. I've said this, Rashad. I'll give you this, and then we got to run to the break. This is, to me, I know I've said it, for whatever reason, it infuriates Lonzo. I don't care. I'm riding with it. And I say it sounds like a joke. It's not to me. This is Bryce Young's rookie year to me. But it wasn't just Frank Reich last year and the switch over to Tabor. It was also Frank Reich coming off of the disaster that was Matt Rhule, which set you even further back than just Frank Reich being bad. To me, I am giving Bryce Young this year as his rookie year, next year as his second, same as I did with Trevor Lawrence. I'm giving him this year as a rookie year, next year as a sophomore. If he sucks this year, I mean sucks, like clearly this guy just ain't got it. Even when things are good, he's not. Then we'll have a conversation. But here's the thing. I didn't see that last year. As bad as his team was last year, there was no point last year where I went, that dude's just bad at football.
Yeah, I completely agree. He's going to be fine. And I believe in Bryce. Everybody else should. Let's pump the brakes and let's see what we got in him.
I dig it. Rashad Beard, host the Panther Nation podcast. You can follow them on X at Panther Nation PC. More importantly, make sure that you're liked up and subscribed to the YouTube channel. They're live all the time. What you guys got coming up?
Yeah, training camp coming up, man. Got some VIP tickets for that. So that should be very interesting. I'm going to be sitting right there, nose to nose with Bryce. I'm going to be seeing what's going on. I'm going to report back to the whole audience and say, hey, this guy's legit. Right. So, yeah, it's going to be great.
Lonzo's not here, so I'm going to say what he would say. Oh, you're going to squat down so you're nose-to-nose with Bryce?
That is funny, though.
I know. That's what infuriates me is he's got good jokes. I hate him, but he's got good jokes. Rashad Beard, appreciate you, Big Dub. We'll talk to you next week, brother.
Peace out, guys. Thank you so much.
That is Rashad Beard for the Panther Nation podcast. Time for a sports flash, and then we're back for hour number four after this.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.